Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Today, I have both Peyton and Jill with me. We are going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about different members' stories, and all of these are unique. And we're going to talk about why these members are seeing the results that they're seeing. And the hope is that by sharing these stories, you might feel like you can resonate with something about their story, and hopefully it will help you get some takeaways to apply into your own routine. So without further ado, we're going to dive right into the first one. So this is from a member who wrote in and said, I always knew how important strength training was, but any program I had tried before really hurt my joints, in particular my knees, and I have very sensitive knees. I came to the point where strength training just wasn't going to be possible for me, so I resorted to Pilates. She said, I fell in love with Pilates, the way it made me feel and how much my body felt better afterwards. Although I loved the workout, I did desire a bit more muscle growth, but I didn't want to add strength back in to not only feel knee pain, but I also didn't want to dread the workout. Evelo has the gentle, low impact feeling of Pilates with the results, benefits, and science of strength training. And I love this one because I feel like that's really what we try to get across, is that strength training doesn't have to be this like aggressive all out modality. It can have the vibe of like a more gentle Pilates class, but still have the results of building muscle, building lean mass without wearing your body down. So, P, do you want to explain why that may be happening?
Yeah. What comes to mind and what others can apply, even if you're not Evelo members, is that one of the elements that we have in each and every class is breath work and mobility at both the beginning and the end of class, which I think is maybe a missing piece from more of the kind of bro culture, heavy lift has to be all or nothing type thing. And so we bookend our classes with easing ourselves in using breath work, followed by mobility, and then easing ourselves out using mobility, followed by breath work. So although the middle portion, the working portion, is tough, you're working hard, we are taking those lifts close to failure, which we know is really important for muscle growth. Like she mentioned, has that science element to it behind lifting. But then we're not just leaving you there. And we're not just saying you need to jump in and get there immediately when you're coming from your stressful day or just waking up out of bed. So I really think the bookends are one of the elements that really contributes to giving it that Pilates feel without it just being pure Pilates-based moves.
Yeah. I also think a lot of our classes are near the floor, and that can really help you feel really stable and like you're targeting one muscle group at a time, which I think is a lot of times really sad. There's that like satisfying Pilates burn that you feel. And you kind of get that when you choose exercises that are close to the ground, targeting one muscle group at a time, taking that lift close to failure with a little bit higher rep, but still within the rep range that's shown by research to build muscle. So I think that that's another thing that maybe kind of gives our classes the vibe of a Pilates class, but the results of a strength training workout.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like too, with our classes, a lot of what we say also kind of can help with having that Pilates feel. We are never saying you need to burn something off. We are never saying you need to do this no matter what. This is the only way. This is the right way. We're constantly giving cues and modifications and education throughout class to explain why we're doing something. I think we all speak in very almost gentle tones, for lack of a better word. We're not screaming into the mics. We're it just our overall tone. We keep it pretty mild and aren't giving necessarily the same vibe that you would get maybe from like an intense spin class where the lights are off and the music's going and you're pumping and flowing. It's just a different vibe altogether based on our in-class education and how we are flowing through the classes, which is different and obviously not something you're going to get if you're just following a circuit.
Yeah, that's true. And for some people, they like that.
Absolutely.
From the instructor, and they want the instructor like screaming at them, but that's not our vibe. And I think it's like to each their own. And so if you prefer Pilates, you might prefer certain things about Pilates that you can still incorporate into your workout to make your workout effective, but still have that vibe of Pilates. Yeah. Anything else I forgot?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yay. Let's move on to the second one. So this one is about pelvic floor. And I wanted to read this because Jill, our instructor, is a former pelvic floor physical therapist and has a ton of knowledge about this. And I thought it was really interesting. So she said, in 2023, I gave birth to my fourth child. I've always had active pregnancies, but I've used a wide variety of at-home programs. She named a few popular ones for fitness during her pregnancies. She said, this pregnancy was the toughest, but because of the gentle consistency of the program, I was able to keep up my strength regimen, even increasing load until 4 days before I went into labor. That's so cool. She said, I had pelvic symphysis dysfunction, so while walking was painful, the variety of options Evlo offered me to modify, and I was able to maintain and even gain strength. The best part, though, was after delivery. I was feeling strong and ready to get back to exercise sooner and was able to restart the workouts without losing much strength. I have started a pelvic PT program, and my physical therapist is so impressed with my strength and recovery. She attributes it all to my strength regimen at Evlo and says she wishes she could bottle up my recovery for all of her clients. I love this because this is something that we do hear a lot, that pregnant women see better outcomes, both from delivery standpoint and a recovery standpoint. They feel better during pregnancy. But what's really interesting is that we have never, and we will never, market ourselves as like pelvic floor rehab. That is never what we're claiming to do. But a lot of these women are feeling so much stronger, even though like we aren't doing Kegels in class, like we aren't really talking a ton. I mean, we do touch on pelvic floor and how to breathe and things like that. But I want to talk about, and I would love to pass the baton to you, Jill, and have you talk about why people are seeing results as far as like their pelvic floor health, even though we aren't doing Kegels and we aren't specifically training the pelvic floor.
Yeah. So you have, when you're pregnant, obviously you have a baby that is going to continuously be growing, and that's going to put a lot of stress on your pelvic floor. And then you also have changes, hormonal changes that will increase ligament laxity and postural changes during pregnancy. So all of these things are going to be putting a lot of pressure and stress on the pelvic floor. So it is important to strengthen the pelvic floor and surrounding muscles, but you can do this in other ways than just doing isolated Kegels, which is where our program is super beneficial if you are pregnant, because with the prenatal program, you'll be working all the major muscle groups 1 to 2 times a week on non-consecutive days. And so you'll be getting all of the strength you need to help support and stabilize the pelvis during pregnancy. I think where people might go wrong is if they hear, okay, I need to strengthen my pelvic floor, so I'm going to start doing Kegels. I'm going to do a bunch of bridge lifts. I'm going to do a bunch of crunches. Doing those exercises repetitively can actually overwork the pelvic floor muscles and cause increased tension in those muscles. But with pregnancy, a misconception is that the pelvic floor muscles are responsible for pushing the baby out. However, you really want the pelvic floor muscles to be able to relax and move out of the way during delivery, to make it easier for the baby to pass through the vaginal canal. It's the role of the abdominal muscles and the uterus to contract to push the baby. So you want your pelvic floor muscles to be able to contract on demand and relax on demand, which I know something is what Shannon says a lot. which if you are working those major muscle groups throughout the week, then you will be getting some reflexive, recruitment of the pelvic floor muscles without actually having to do a Kegel.
Yes. I love that. And I think like talking about the breath work could be interesting here too, because breath is something that we cue with every single exercise. So Jill, do you want to explain kind of how to breathe with your lifting and how that affects pelvic floor?
Yeah. Breathing properly in general, but especially during lifting, is going to be huge for pelvic health. So if you were to do, for example, a bicep curl, on the lifting phase of the curl, so the concentric phase of the exercise, if you were to hold your breath and be bearing down on that phase, you're going to be putting a lot of downward pressure on the pelvic floor, which can weaken the pelvic floor, which obviously you don't want. So what we cue in our classes is to exhale through pursed lips on the lifting phase of an exercise or the concentric phase of an exercise. So for a bicep curl, as you curl the arms up, you want to exhale through pursed lips like you're blowing out through a straw. And this will help to regulate your intra-abdominal pressure to make sure that that force isn't just going downward on the pelvic floor.
Awesome. I think it's so funny because it's like, yes, we're not negating pelvic floor physical therapy. Big, obviously we're big fans of pelvic floor physical therapy. We're not saying that we replace it, but I do think that how you work out can be kind of a make or break for your pelvic floor. You could do all the right things as far as what your pelvic floor physical therapist is recommending. But if you're going and you're overusing your glutes or you're overusing your abs and your inner thighs, or you're not loading the muscles that surround the pelvis, it's not going to be the full picture to really accelerate and improve your recovery overall.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, let's move on to the next. So this one is something that I think a lot of people struggle with, and it's about how you don't have to be fatigued and depleted to see results. So this person said, my workouts in the past left me feeling depleted and I wasn't seeing results despite being quite consistent. I started feeling better days after starting Evlo. I enjoyed the workout so much they left me feeling energized but calm and strong. She said, I was hooked from 1 week, and 1 year later, I'm still totally obsessed. She said, I'm lifting heavier than ever. So she's gaining strength even though she's doing less. And she said she's eating better than ever thanks to the nutrition info on the platform and Shannon's podcast guests. So I think I wanted to talk about this one. We wanted to talk about this one because you can do less and see better results. It's all about quality and not quantity. And I think a big misconception is if I'm more tired, that means I had a more effective workout. Mm-hmm. So what do we think about that? Like, why is that not necessarily the case?
I think what's interesting about why maybe people are seeing better results, people coming, when we think about the Pilates example in the first call out versus this is someone, it sounds like maybe coming from a place where she felt like the only way was doing these all or nothing boot camps or super sweaty classes, things like this. So this is obviously a totally different subset of people that we find see a lot of success with Evlo. And I think one of the reasons is they come to our program from different programming where they're doing a lot of combination movements that aren't really necessarily loading the individual muscle groups that they're trying to target well, or taking those individual muscle groups close to failure, which we know is really important and the key factor for muscle growth. So they're used to going to these classes where they're doing one move could be claiming to work glutes, abs, shoulders, and triceps at the same time. But if they're used to doing all of these different combination moves and just at the end leaving in a sweaty mess, they most likely are missing out on load that is needed to induce change to the muscles. So then they come to our programming. The classes are shorter. If you're on the 4 or 5 time a week class, 35 minutes. And we're doing really targeted lifts that, when we tell you, our goal is not to leave you in a sweaty mess, that our goal is whatever muscle groups are on the calendar for that day, those muscle groups, we are going to work towards muscle failure in each and every set, maybe adding in some drop sets, and then we're out of there. So even though they're spending less time on their mats, they're spending more time in an effective exercise for the individual muscle groups.
Yes. And I think to make this like a little more sciencey even, is that the reason there's a difference between systemic fatigue and peripheral fatigue. So systemic fatigue is like all over your system is tired. Mm-hmm. Like it's when you do a really hard workout and you don't necessarily, I mean, your muscles might feel tired, but you just overall feel like you want to take a nap. Mm-hmm. That's systemic fatigue. And then you have peripheral fatigue, which is fatigue at the muscle itself. This may not come with overall systemic fatigue or that overall exhausted feeling, but that peripheral fatigue is what is more likely to cause adaptation or muscle growth in your body. Mm-hmm. So that's really more what we're concerned about when we talk about muscle growth and body composition changes, is getting to that peripheral fatigue. that doesn't necessarily have to come with systemic fatigue. And in fact, systemic fatigue can sometimes take away from peripheral fatigue, because if you're overall just more gassed and tired, you can't put in as much effort for your lifts. And therefore, your mechanical tension can decrease in the muscle and cause less overall peripheral fatigue. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes actually being less tired overall can be more beneficial, because you can get higher quality lifts. Mm-hmm. You can take lifts a little closer to failure. I think one thing that I've been saying a lot lately is, a lot of people don't know this, but one of your most important sets of your workout is the very first one. It's the one where you're the freshest. You can create the most mechanical, or you can tolerate the most mechanical load, because your body's fresh. You're not tired yet. And as your workout goes on, you get more tired, you accumulate more systemic fatigue, and the output to your muscles decreases. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of the opposite of what people think. And it's kind of hard to wrap your head around that you can actually be less tired. And as long as you're stimulating that peripheral fatigue, see better results. Okay, this is the last one. And I liked this one because this just goes to show that it doesn't happen quickly. And I think a lot of people have to try things before they end up seeing ultimately the results that they want. So this mm-hmm. member has been a member with us for years. And she said she dialed her body composition goals this past August of 2023. And across 6 months, I've lost 12 pounds, all gradually and sustainably. The purpose of this platform is not a weight loss app, but I share this to say that if it's a side goal of yours, Shannon will explain how all the pieces of the pie fit together and how to do it in a healthy way. Nutrition, rest, movement, and strength. But aside from this is my favorite part, some markers that were even more significant for me were how my increased strength allowed me to live my life more fully. Number one, I returned to skiing at 40 years old after taking a decade of a break and experienced no muscle soreness, felt strong, and was able to ski full days. Number two, I hiked over 7 miles at Yosemite 2 days in a row at over 2,000 feet of elevation, and she's not a hiker. And then number three, she said she recently went to Europe and walked 30,000 steps each day and had energy left in the tank. So I loved this for multiple reasons. Again, I think setting the expectations that it might not happen super fast, or you might have to try different things and taper nutrition, things like that. I also loved that we're not doing quote unquote functional fitness, and yet she was seeing functional improvements in her life and what really matters in life, which is like being able to do the things that you want to do with ease.
Yeah. You say it all the time that your goal is to be able to do a cartwheel when you're 90, but our goal, ultimate goal, is to be functional and have longevity throughout our entire lives. And although we don't deem ourselves a quote unquote functional fitness program, I believe that when you set yourself up for success in terms of limiting the joint strain that you're adding in with exercise and choosing exercises that are loading the muscles well, with keeping the other structures in mind and the rest of your body in mind, when you decrease that constant repetitive potential for error, then you're going to improve your ability to function in your day-to-day life. Yeah. When you're not dealing with debilitating back pain that might be coming from your workout routine, you're going to be able to lift your suitcase, carry-on suitcase over your head and put it above your seat on your plane easier. Yeah. You're going to be able to reach down and pick up your kid and without having to really think about it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just an interesting concept and something that it's one of those things, kind of like you mentioned in the last scenario, with on paper, it makes sense. Like we want it to make sense of, okay, in order to be more functional, I need to do a functional movement or replicate the exact movement that I'm going to do in a lift scenario. But the reality is, when we're doing those movements in real life, you're never performing them the same way that you are in your workout class.
Right.
So instead, strengthen your muscles, decrease the strain to your joints, allow yourself to feel really good, and then function better in your day to day.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's less room for error when your joints feel good and your muscles are strong. That will create all the function that you really need. And it's just funny, like, we're not practicing skiing motions
no.
in class. And yet she was
you're not?
To,
you're not adding those in?
I'm not. I couldn't if I tried. I do not know. But, and yet she was able to see that translation of not a ton of muscle soreness because she has stronger quads and healthy knees. And mm-hmm. so she was able to ski with a lot of comfort. And so I think that was really important. I also think something that I want to touch on is the weight loss piece. And I think, unfortunately, we have been oversold that exercise is beneficial for weight loss. Most studies show that exercise results in just a few pounds of weight loss on average from going to from nothing to something. So exercise is not the main driver of weight loss. And so we always say, like, we're not a weight loss program. However, for some people, that's a goal and we never want to diminish someone's goal, but doing so with nutritional changes rather than relying on your fitness program to completely deplete you, burn as many calories as possible, just in the pursuit of weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely been in that boat where I felt like I had to, you know, go do this class and then run after, like, mm-hmm. it was felt like it was never enough. And I think a lot of people, feel that way, but instead, like you said, you know, focus on the muscle building aspects and the nutritional components, fueling your body properly. And then everything will kind of fall into place when you stop treating exercise like it's supposed to be your, weight loss program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of the end all be all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to and like more sustainable because then you don't have to like show up and do grueling workouts. Free yourself from that.
Yes. Yes.
Not that, you know, you couldn't add in some HIIT and sometimes HIIT. Listen, when I was doing it pre-pregnancy, I had to like muster up the strength to do it. It's not always easy. We're not saying our workouts are easy by any means, but it's more just like it doesn't need to be exhausting if weight loss is your goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming. This was fun. Yes. Listeners, our goal is always that you get something out of these episodes of these podcasts. Hopefully you felt like you could resonate with at least one of these stories and you learned something. So thank you all for listening. We will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.